Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Disney could be one of the worst performing stocks in 2022 after the company became entangled in a high-profile political controversy regarding very young children and sexuality in Florida. The stock reached an all-time high in March of 2021, trading nearly $200 per share. Thursday, the stock was hovering near $120 per share. That's down 33% from a year ago. The Florida House of Representatives passed a bill Thursday that would dissolve Walt Disney's special governing power in the state, a move that could have huge tax implications for Disney. More claims of Russian atrocities in Ukraine. New satellite images appear to show expansion of mass graves near the besieged Ukrainian port city of Mariupol, which the city council claims could hold as many as 9,000 souls. Maxar Technologies released 5 satellite photographs dated between March 19th and April 3rd. USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
USFL Football Week 2 kicks off later this afternoon as the Michigan Panthers take on the New Jersey Generals. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is being sued for not doing their job.
Over a dozen victims of former Michigan State University sports doctor Larry Nassar are filing claims against the FBI. They say the claims are for the Bureau's grossly negligent failure to investigate sexual abuse allegations. They're asking for $10 million each. All the individuals were victimized by Nassar after July 2015, when the FBI office in Indianapolis was first made aware of sexual assaults committed by the doctor. The claims come as the DOJ said last year they would be reviewing a previous decision that declined to prosecute 2 former FBI agents who were made aware of the allegations against Nassar. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
We are USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
One Florida politician says a large number of Hispanics are leaving the Democrat Party over the open border policies by the Biden administration. Representative Carlos Jimenez, the Republican from Florida, on Newsmax overnight.
We've been shouting and demanding action at the borders for over a year. I mean, I went down to the border with Leader McCarthy back in March of 2021, right after the president, you know, took office, and he changed all the Trump era policies that were causing a huge problem and a crisis at the border. All made, you know, this is all self-inflicted by the president, and I think it's something that he wants. Now the Democrats see that, hey, this is a problem politically, and now they are waking up, right? I don't think they're really waking up. They're waking up to the poll numbers, like you said. This has been a problem for well over a year, and now it's a little bit too late for them to start saying that, gee, we really have a problem down there. We've been having a big problem for over a year.
As the country sputters into a new green era, batteries are the new oil. And the United States is lagging behind Europe and China in the race to make them efficient. Electric vehicles will give the United States a chance to achieve energy independence, but it will require complex strategic moves that won't pay off for years or maybe even decades. Most of today's advanced batteries are being produced in Asia. If the United States wants to control its own energy destiny, she'll need to secure a battery buildup program here on our soil. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, BillMartinezShow.com is where you want to go. Daniel Natale joins us. He is the business ethics teacher and a news analyst and commentator for the New American Magazine. Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing good, Bill. I hope everything is going well for you as well.
Yeah, all things considered, I mean, this is quite quite a time for observation. And, you know, I tell my kids experience defines preference. And we're being tsunamied with experience here. And the opportunity we have right now is to choose, because we still live in somewhat of a free society anyway, though the power, the level pullers for power and control are doing everything they can to kind of corral us and to steal away from us our God-given rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think we've talked about this on another broadcast as well with Cass Sunstein, who's currently in the Biden administration, and he was charged with deplatforming conservatives after the 2016 election. And he wrote a great book called Nudge, which is about what they call choice architecture, or what used to be called social engineering, about how to channel the public into particular directions, how to silence certain voices. And he wrote a follow-up to it called How Change Happens.
Exactly.
I mean, he goes through why they panicked when Trump became president, because he said that Trump was a norm entrepreneur, was the term. And what that means is somebody who moves the Overton window so that you can discuss things that you couldn't previously discuss. For instance, globalism. They did studies, focus groups, and before Trump came along, it was kind of stigmatized to talk about the possibility that globalism didn't actually help people, you know, in the United States. And after Trump, suddenly it became acceptable to talk about. And at that point, they started panicking and they were like, oh, we have to shut this down.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, and as you said, the nudge continues. It's kind of like, you know, again, in the spirit of the democratic ethos, do not let any good crisis go to waste. You know, whatever they can leverage to fulfill their agenda. Biden has run into resistance from his own party on the BBB plan. Okay, it's not happening. And so we've got to force the green agenda. So, oh, we happen to have a war. Oh, there's a, you know, we've already cut off fossil fuels, turned off the pipeline. Gas prices are starting to go up, and we can further exacerbate the problem naturally and try to sell people on the idea that it's all Putin's fault, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that gets back to, you know, nudge. They're nudging the population into particular directions by, you know, pressing certain levers and fulcrums and pulleys of power to achieve their ends. And where there isn't a crisis, they'll manufacture one. And one of the things that I was just reading with my son was a history book, Charles Beard's History of the United States, I think it was. And he talks about the Alien and Sedition Act back in 1793,
yes.
I think it was.
Right.
And so at that time, they
1798, wasn't it? Somewhere?
98, thank you.
Yeah, 98. Yeah, okay, right.
Thanks for the correction. Yeah, 3 and 8 kind of look the same in my mind, apparently. So at that time period, the Federalists were against Thomas Jefferson's party, the Republicans. The Republicans. And so the Federalists were very monarchical. They had grown up under the King of England. They were used to being subjects. So they kind of wanted to recreate England within the United States. And so the Federalists wanted to dislodge us from the French sphere of influence. To get us back into the English sphere of influence. And they set up a central bank, 80% of which, you know, of whose stock was owned by, you know, interests in England. You know, in 1791, I believe it was, Alexander Hamilton set up the central bank of the United States. So they saw America as being run by a king and a central bank, just like in London. And Jefferson's party saw America as a republic, and they resented the efforts of the Federalists. And so the Federalists would later get discredited during the War of 1812 when the British were burning down the White House and the Federalists wouldn't release funds to fight the British because they said that this would imperil their business interests. And they didn't want to alienate England, so the rest of the country saw them as traitors. They were discredited, never to return. But before that happened, they actually set up a thing called the Alien and Sedition Act where they said, France is bad. And it's very similar to the Russia hysteria today.
Exactly.
Where they're creating like a crisis.
Or the MAGA people today. You can say Russia or MAGA, right? Same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so right. What they did was they said, okay, well, we're going to create this Alien Sedition Act that's going to be used on French spies. And but what they actually used it on is to arrest Republicans, to shut down dissent. Like, for instance, John Adams, he liked being called His Majesty. Right. I mean, he literally thought like the role of the president was like a monarch, and he wanted to be able to arrest people who criticized him.
Did he want everybody to stand up in the room like Kamala Harris whenever he entered as well?
Well, and that's the tension. That was the general tension in the New America, right. Was that a lot of the people wanted it, especially the powerful people who had ties to England economically. They wanted America to be a second England. They wanted it to be a monarchy. Whereas the people, you know, the regular people, the 99% wanted it to be a republic. And that was Thomas Jefferson's group. And they were battling. And so Jefferson's group initially wins that fight. But before they win that fight, the Federalists really did just crazy things like arresting critics. Like when Benjamin Franklin's grandson called John Adams his rotundity. You know, in reference to his short, corpulent stature, he got arrested for that, you know, and Thomas Jefferson was like, you know, you're allowed to say what you want according to the Constitution. What do you do? And so basically they weaponized the Alien and Sedition Act not to go after French spies. Not a single Frenchman was ever deported. Not a single French spy was ever captured. 100% of it went toward attacking their political rivals. Just like in the January 6th thing, where we thought
exactly.
The Act was just going to be used against French spies. I mean, Muslim terrorists. And,
right.
And we signed on to it thinking it would never be weaponized against us. But now all of a sudden, American citizens are domestic terrorists and they're Republicans. And so it's very eerie to look back at history. But the good news is that whenever we have excesses, we tend to right them. We tend to wake up from, you know, the delusion, from the, you know, the heady torpor, you know, that we were in, and we correct
right.
these things. And the Alien Sedition Act was thrown out as unconstitutional, blatantly unconstitutional. But it's just interesting to see that the same methodology is hundreds of years later are still used.
Nothing new under the sun, right, Daniel? It just keeps on raising its ugly head until the new head is lopped off. And as you say, the ship is righted in a sense, just a little bit like the mask mandate. I mean, you got a judge that sits there and says, wait a minute, you know, I don't read anything in the Constitution that allows you this authority, you know, out with the mask mandate. And of course, you know, Joe Biden and the administration, who on one hand is saying, hey, let's get rid of Title 42 at the border, which was regarding COVID and health protections and considerations. He wants to lift that, but yet they want the DOJ to put pressure back on the courts to say, no, you're not the one to make that decision that the mask mandate should remain, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, like, all of these things are pretexts for other things. I mean, years ago, reporting, White House reporting about Chagas coming over the southern border, about tuberculosis, high rates of polio, whooping cough, like all these, America was seeing, you know, diseases, recrudescences of diseases that we had eradicated 100 years ago because of that open southern border. So they knew that, that the southern border was just rife with, you know, disease, but it kept, you know, the thirst for cheap labor. They and narcotics and human trafficking and everything else. They just kept that border wide open. So you know the pretext that they're so worried about COVID is absurd. You know,
yep, exactly. Like, okay, we got to leave the audience with that thought. We've got more from Daniel and Tal after this. Stay with us.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. 800-755-7921. That's 800-755-7921.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez. Martinez here, just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent. Okay, I'll give you a little bit, Henri, you know, just for some flavor here. But thank you for joining us. We come to you live Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Daniel Natale continues with us. Daniel, as you're saying, nothing new under the sun, lots of pretext, and like most things, when you have a bloated government, you get all these unintended consequences, because after everything is all said and done, we're flawed. We're human beings. We're going to make mistakes. The challenge is sometimes it takes us a while to get on the other side of things, because, you know, whether it's the Patriot Act that has still been problematic, the issue of COVID and all that we've gone through, a lot that we knew about COVID or Hunter Biden's laptop, we've known early on. It's reasonable. It's commonsensical. Just like it was commonsensical to realize that what was, perpetuated by the mainstream media and Hillary Clinton about Donald Trump was a bunch of manure. But, you know, meanwhile, we had to go through the process, spend, $30 million plus, and 19 Democratic attorneys, and, let's just throw in an impeachment trial, one or two, just for fun, to realize what a futile exercise this was when we knew from the very beginning, just like we did with COVID, that this is all a bunch of manure.
Well, I mean, look at the people who were, who were brought in by the FBI with the Governor Whitmer kidnapping case, and all of them are being exonerated, and the FBI is basically creating its own terror plot and trying to set up fall guys so they can justify funding for themselves. Americans, patriotic Americans who believe in their institutions are starting to question, certain of those, let's call them unconstitutional institutions, like the FBI or CIA, organizations that are not in our Constitution, and they seem to be, like, running the show. According to Victor Ostrovsky, said that in his book, By Way of Deception. He was an Israeli Mossad member, and he wrote this book, and he was talking about how Mossad runs Israel. And he said the same thing is true of British MI6 in England and the CIA in the United States. As Chuck Schumer said, he said that Trump is in danger because he's going against these powerful intelligence agencies, and they have 6 ways from Sunday to get back at you.
Exactly.
And so that was stunning for a sitting senator who is part of our constitutional government to basically say, hey, our constitutional government should roll over and defer to this shadow government. So Americans are getting fed up.
Yeah, and because we see it. We see the fruit of their efforts. I mean, there's a really big discussion, although, Republicans are claiming, if the shellacking comes to the Democratic Party that is projected for the midterms, that they're going to spend all this time and money investigating. Like what? Like, what are you going to investigate? And like, all of a sudden, Hillary Clinton's going to roll over and say, oh, you got me. Take me to jail. Yeah, I did this. I stole this. Joe Biden's going to admit to collusion with his son and, some IRS, impropriety. And he didn't file his taxes correctly because he had all these millions of dollars taking care of he and his family that were undeclared. This isn't going to happen. I mean, they can't even figure out, even when there's blood all over everybody's hands, what happened in Benghazi. We're still trying to figure out what really happened at 9/11. We still don't know, even after all that has been invested in all these investigations, the Warren Commission, everything, we still don't know who shot John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, so, exactly. Trump wanted to release those documents, remember, and the CIA six months, and then Biden comes
in. Yeah, but my question was, he started to release, and then he stopped. Why did he stop? What threatened him to stop doing? I mean, here is, President Donald Trump, who was for the people and playing it right down the line, but he hit a wall. And I don't know somebody threatened him that if you release the rest of these documents, you're not going to like the consequences. And I would not be surprised, knowing what we always have known about these three-letter agencies, and especially the powerful CIA and FBI, they have ways and means to make sure that you comport, and they can cause you a lot of pain, not just discomfort, but pain unimaginable.
Well, I did a whole presentation whose theme was, don't do permanent solutions for temporary problems, right? Mm-hmm. And so we had a temporary problem that was called World War II. and it was temporary. You know, only lasted four or five years. You know, regarding when we got into it, I just said. Yet we created all these institutions and this infrastructure, you know, that was based on this temporary war. And then after the war goes away, we have this permanent, you know, kind of, you know, shadow government that's operating right behind the scenes. And so you see the same thing with COVID, where they create a temporary problem, but then they create permanent structures so that, you know, any as we go toward the future, they can trigger that again because now they've created those infrastructure, you know, mechanisms.
Exactly.
So, yeah, as a people, we have to be very conscious that we can't create permanent problems for temporary. You know, it's like
It's not us. See, we're not doing it. It's the power structure, the industrial, whether it's the industrial, military or political class that is doing this. You know, as Ronald Reagan said, that's the closest thing to eternal life is a government bureaucracy, and it has a life of its own. It's like the blob, right? I mean, it just keeps on growing.
Well, they have to do that. I mean, they do have to get buy-in from the American public. And so when you have a war, they're a lot more amenable because you're saying, oh, we're doing this for the enemy. Just like with the Patriot Act. Oh, we're doing this for an external enemy. And then after the external enemy goes away, they use it on, you know, like the real reason is to use it as political oppression on their own populace. And so the same thing with the COVID thing. Now they've established certain precedents that they can, you know, shut down churches, that they can keep strip clubs, that they can, you know, they can shut down businesses and, you know, shut down Main Street to send all that business to Wall Street, you know, greater market share for Amazon.com. You know, the government is in control of the means of production, basically communist, you know, and so if we allow this, so like the people have to take to the streets and, you know, to our credit, and people have been taken to the streets. You have been seen all over the world. You have been seeing people who are activated. And that's the heartening part of this story. Is that when people forget how powerful they actually are, and they forget how craven the oligarchical structure is, you know?
Well, and that's what freaked them out, you know, about January 6th. It was like, whoa, we can't let the minions, you know, realize that they have this kind of power. And you see, the thing is, and they want to shut down the language of the Constitution that says we the people, and that our rights do not come from the government. These are rights that are given to us by God Almighty himself. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, that which is enumerated in our U.S. These are God-given rights. And they're not, they do not belong to the government, because we know, just as we're experiencing now, what the government giveth, the government taketh away. And here it is. It takes us 2.5 years to figure out, oh, my goodness, after all the damage has been done, we didn't need to be wearing these masks after all. But how much longer, Daniel, is it going to take because of the damage that they have left, the imprint that they have left? As I was talking to somebody else the other day, I mean, think about this. It takes, you know, psychologists say somewhere, you know, 20, 28 days or something for you to institute a habit, right? And so here we've got a lot of 28 days in 2.5 years that people have been conditioned to be habitually conditioned to a mask. And so just because one judge says, hey, this doesn't pass muster, it's unconstitutional, and you got the majority of the people, you know, throwing their mask in the air, getting ready to have, you know, the bonfire of the mask vanities taking place in some major stadium somewhere so we can get rid of all these things, except for those ones that are specially designed that match people's shoes and that. Those may not make it into the funeral pyre, I understand. But nonetheless, people have been conditioned and they're brain damaged now to think, oh my gosh, you know, here's my security. This was going to keep me from getting COVID. You know,
exactly. And the reports now that are coming out about all the people with microplastics in their lungs, that the average person now has like a credit card size of microplastics, and then you look at the microplastics, and they're the same make and model of the product, the petroleum products that are in the mask. So people are breathing in plastic particles. You know, this is not good for your health. Masks are not a panacea.
No.
They're not a magical amulet.
And it's,
they're not designed to be better than for 10 hours.
And it's just the beginning of so much that we didn't know that we're starting to know. That's what this is all about. He's the business ethics teacher and a news analyst commentator for the New American Magazine. Daniel Natale has been with us. Daniel, as always, we appreciate it. Godspeed, my friend. Take care.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Disney could be one of the worst performing stocks in 2022 after the company became entangled in a high-profile political controversy regarding very young children and sexuality in Florida. The stock reached an all-time high in March of 2021, trading nearly $200 per share. Thursday, the stock was hovering near $120 per share. That's down 33% from a year ago. The Florida House of Representatives passed a bill Thursday that would dissolve Walt Disney's special governing power in the state, a move that could have huge tax implications for Disney. More claims of Russian atrocities in Ukraine. New satellite images appear to show expansion of mass graves near the besieged Ukrainian port city of Mariupol, which the city council claims could hold as many as 9,000 souls. Maxar Technologies released 5 satellite photographs dated between March 19th and April 3rd. USA Radio News.
I need to do my taxes. Are there any self-help options online?
Doing taxes yourself? IRS.gov has many self-service tax tools, and they're all just a click away. Prepare and file your taxes online using FreeFile. Use our calculator to estimate your tax withholding. Order a tax transcript. Apply for an employer identification number. Check your refund status, too. IRS.gov, your 24/7 federal tax resource.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Martinez here. Great to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, BillMartinezShow.com. We've got acclaimed author and historian Mark Updegrove joining us, head of the LBJ Foundation, presidential historian for ABC News, and he is offering an illuminating account of John F. Kennedy's brief but transformative tenure in the White House with his new book titled Incomparable Grace, JFK in the Presidency. Mark, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, Mark, much has been written about this president, but first of all, before we get into that, why the title Incomparable Grace?
You know, JFK is, as we know from looking at his image in history, he's elegant, he's composed, he's cool, he's eloquent. And he cuts this very dashing figure on the world stage. So he comes into the presidency with incomparable grace. And it's largely superficial, but we see Kennedy's real grace during the Cuban Missile Crisis, the greatest crisis of his presidency, perhaps one of the great, or certainly one of the great crises of humankind, when we come perilously close to nuclear war with the Soviet Union. And he defines courage through the words of Ernest Hemingway, who said that courage was grace under pressure. Mm. And we see in the most difficult moments of John F. Kennedy's presidency, including the Cuban Missile Crisis, grace under pressure. And that's the incomparable grace that I use to describe John F. Kennedy.
Mark, so much of JFK was, you might say, a bit mysterious. I guess the general consensus, because even, you know, I was in elementary school at the time, and you know, people love this president. And they had a lot of positive things to feel and say about him. He's very charming. You know, he came across very relational. And he really captured the hearts and minds of the American people in a way that I don't think any other president did in my lifetime.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Bill. And it's difficult to realize now, but John F. Kennedy won the presidency in 1960 with just 0.2% of the vote, right? It less than 1%. So it's a very narrow victory. But as he said, the margin is thin, but the responsibility is clear. And while he's president-elect, he starts to capture the imagination of the American people. Of course, when he gives his inaugural address on January 20th, 1961, he asks us all to reach beyond ourselves and gives us this eternal expression of American ideals by saying, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And after that, 63% of the American people think of something more they can be doing for their own nation. He personifies, John F. Kennedy, this idea of service over self. So that when he blunders in his presidency with the Bay of Pigs quagmire, just a couple of months into his presidency, 83% of the American people approve of his job performance. Only 5% disapprove. This is at a time when he's very vulnerable, when he has a black eye on the world stage because of this failed military operation to overthrow Fidel Castro. So that speaks to your point, to the allure, the charm that Kennedy has, and our confidence in him as a result.
Exactly. Yeah, and I don't think that, you know, he didn't seem to be invulnerable, but vulnerable in a sense that you had this sense that, again, he was relatable, that, yes, this quagmire, and there were several things that he was faced with early on in his presidency. You know, it's always warned that whenever a new president takes over, get ready, you know, you're going to face some challenges. But I don't think even JFK would realize that he would be facing the challenges of such enormity in 1960.
No, you're absolutely right. And he's humbled by that. He's chastened by the Bay of Pigs thing. And he goes before the American people. And to his credit, he takes the blame. He takes the hit. He says, a good idea has many fathers, but a bad idea is an orphan. But at the end of the day, I am the commander-in-chief, and the buck stops with me. And so he took the heat for that and resolved to do better. And I think the American people gave him an 83% job approval rating, not because they thought he was doing a good job, but they had faith that he yes. would rise to the challenges of the office.
Well, that's what leadership does, doesn't it, Mark? I mean, it admits at fault. It leads. It is vulnerable in a sense. It's honest. Because you've got to, after all, you got to build trust with your constituency. I mean, when you've got 50% of the country didn't believe in you and didn't vote for you, and now you're garnering up an 85% approval rating, wow, there's a lot of power in the truth, isn't there?
There is a lot of power in the truth, and I think the American people are impressed by the fact that he takes the heat so readily and, again, promises to do better. That's an amazing thing. We don't see a great deal of humility in this day and age in politics, but the American people responded, and I agree with you. Listen, we are all flesh and blood in some way, admitting your defeat and conceding that you could do better makes you more relatable in a sense. Mm-hmm. So we doubled down on John F. Kennedy at that moment, and ultimately he stepped up and showed that he was worthy of the faith that he had in
him. Exactly. Well, Mark, you know, lots have been said about this president, his legacy. You know, based on your research, and you probably know JFK probably better than most people. How do you think that he would want to be remembered most?
Yeah, I think he wanted to be a great president, without question. And, know, he not only wanted to achieve the presidency, he wanted to walk the world stage in the manner that, you know, that Winston Churchill and Charles de Gaulle did. He wanted to be like Franklin Roosevelt. He wanted to be esteemed in the eyes not only of his own countrymen, but in the eyes of the world. And when he was struck down by an assassin's bullet in November of 1963, he was standing at the peak of his presidency in many respects. There was no comparable world leader on the stage. He hadn't yet reached his potential, but he had greater potential to give. And I think the way that I thought a great deal about his legacy and how he should be remembered, though, and what I wrote at the end of the book is throughout the course of his restless, abridged reign in the White House, he dealt with the pressures of the office and the momentous decisions he had before him, standing on feet of clay at times, showing flashes of greatness at others, but all he did indelibly, honor and grace, edging out recklessness and abandon, calling forth the best in all of us.
Exactly. Mark, you know, it's just, you know, JFK leaves such a, I don't know, such a hard to express emotion. I mean, here he is, this young, he's the second youngest person to be elected president of the United States. But his leadership skill and his ability to connect with the people and his desire, as you said, just to be a good president, you know, to do the people's work and to share this heart of service, I believe that, you know, is probably part of the Kennedy, you know, legacy as a family, don't you think?
Without question. Listen, this is one of the wealthiest families in the country at the time. Joe Kennedy, the Kennedy patriarch, father of John F. Kennedy, wanted to accrue great power in this nation. He realized the way to do that as a Catholic American at the time. We were yes, very prejudiced against Catholics.
Well, I remember that argument. even as a 10-year-old, I remember that argument. Oh, my gosh, yes.
Exactly. Should we elect a Catholic president, will he be more responsive to the Vatican than he would to, you know, his own country? And of course, we know that's silly now, but Joe Kennedy, again, the Kennedy patriarch, amassed a great fortune with the eye of parlaying it into power. He himself wanted to be president of the United States, and his hopes were dashed when he took an isolationist stand with World War II, which made him a political pariah, but he heaped his ambitions onto John F. Kennedy.
Real quick, we've got to go to break. Let's pick it up from there when we come back. More from Mark Updegrove after this.
Sure.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Want to pay off your 30-year mortgage in half the time? Network Capital is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 2.75% with a 2.94 APR. Take advantage of a lower rate with half the payments. If you're looking to lower your interest rate, pay your home off sooner, or pull out some cash, don't miss this opportunity. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again with rates this low. Our 15-year fixed rate is 2.75% with a 2.94 APR. It's not often to get such an amazing second chance to refinance and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed at 2.75% with a 2.94 APR. Network Capital has experts standing by right now to help. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 117-12. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the financing law. Number 603-D-77. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available at rate lock. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
Have you ever had one or more silver or gray-looking fillings in your teeth? These are mercury fillings that off-gas mercury vapor and release mercury particles while chewing food. Mercury destroys the nerves in your digestive tract, causing constipation and candida overgrowth. It also kills or cripples other cells on contact. If you have a health challenge, I invite you to consider that mercury may be a causative agent. In addition to dental fillings, mercury comes from seafood and vaccines. Detoxifying mercury has never been easier than now. Thanks to advancements in science, you can now feed your body the sulfur-rich protein known as whey protein concentrate and be supporting your body's glutathione production. Glutathione is the body's most effective means of removing mercury from the body. Green Metal Whey Protein Powder is the world's first and only cold, sterilized, and non-denatured whey protein concentrate on the market. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's bestwheyprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, we're talking with Mark Updegrove. His brand new book, Incomparable Grace, JFK and the Presidency. Mark, sorry we had to go to break so quickly here, but I wanted you to tell your story.
Well, I was going to relate a story that happened at the beginning of the Kennedy presidency, Bill, where when he goes back to the White House after after being inaugurated, he goes on to parties in the wee hours in the morning and crawls back into the White House in the early hours of January 21st, 1961. And the presidential bedroom is being renovated, so he chooses to sleep in the Lincoln bedroom. And somebody asks him the next day, what is it like to sleep in the Lincoln bed? And he says, I just jumped in and I hung on. And that's exactly what you could say of Kennedy.
Right,
in the
right.
early days of his presidency, he jumped in and he hung on during even the most difficult moments, and he made it work. He tapped the very best in himself, and he made it work.
Well, this speaks of his charm and his sense of humor, right? I mean, he could hold a crowd captive.
He really could, and I think, you know, these are consequential days for the United States. We've got the civil rights movement erupting at home, showing the worst of racial prejudice. We have the Soviet Union contesting the United States for dominance and having a system that's tyrannical. And so these are really important times. And I think that I quote Clement Attlee in the book. Clement Attlee was the successor to Winston Churchill, who said of Churchill's rhetorical ability during the Second World War, words at great moments can be deeds. And we see in Kennedy these great deeds that he does through his words, essentially. Again, I mentioned the ask not rhetoric of Kennedy's inauguration, which gets us thinking beyond ourselves, thinking about service over self. We have him having us reach for the moon. We choose to go to the moon, he says. In 1962, rallying.
Not because it's easy, Mark. He says not because it's easy, but because it's hard. Boy, what a clear challenge, you know, for America and vision.
This is hard work, but we can do it.
Yes. Yeah, it's amazing. Mark, you know, you have interviewed 7 U.S. presidents. What an honor for you, you know, that your career has given you this kind of opportunity and open doors. with this vast experience and one-on-one insight into these presidents, if you could design, or if you could say, because there was no question. I mean, presidents come at the right time when they need to be there. Their leadership, I think JFK was one of those figures, just like Ronald Reagan. What do you think? Where we are right now, what kind of president does America need in order to get on the other side of this ideological, I don't know how you want to call it, bucket of gum that we seem to be quagmired in right now? Even, you know, you mentioned the civil rights issue, which continues, but it's kind of hard to, you know, connect those elements, because you say, wow, we've gone so far. We've come so far in terms of civil rights. We have more interracial marriages than ever. Yes, poverty still exists pretty much at the same levels as it did in the mid-60s when LBJ said we had to, affect this war on poverty. And I was talking with Bob Woodson here recently. I said, Bob, we've spent nearly $30 trillion in the war on poverty. Where did the money go, you know?
Right. Well, you know, I think you're asking what it takes today. And I think leadership is part of it. But I think the bigger challenge, Bill, is the media universe. We've seen the proliferation and fragmentation of media over the years. You know, John F. Kennedy was president at a time when you had three news networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC. You had a
and they commanded 85% of the audience at that time, Mark.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly right. And Walter Cronkite would become the most trusted man in America, not at that time, but shortly thereafter. We had a newsman, an anchor, who was the most trusted man in America. So it was a very different universe, and people weren't in echo chambers when they were hearing their own views perpetuated, right, whether they were pro-president or anti-president. So that's one of the things that we battle in this age of not only a proliferated media landscape, but social media, right, where so many Americans aren't getting their news from serious and legitimate news outlets, but rather from each other. And we tend to gravitate toward those who believe as we do, right? So that's the problem that we have today. And I don't know how you overcome that. That's not only a challenge to any president, that's a challenge to our democracy.
Exactly. Well, being of the Hispanic culture, we had our grandmothers. Whenever we would say something silly and ideologically out, you know, off the regime, you know, and off the ranch, they would first look at us. And they kind of give you that eye like, be careful. And if we decided that we wanted to continue with that, they would reach down and grab their house slipper. In our vernacular, we call it a chancla, okay? They'd reach down, grab the chancla, and that chancla would be flying in the air towards your head to let you know that, okay, that's enough stupid for the day, okay? And maybe that's what we need. We just need grandmas to come out and start, you know, tossing chanclas at the silliness of our culture. Just saying.
Maybe grab our ears, right? And like my grandmother did to me.
Yeah.
I think you're dead right, Bill. You know, at the end of the day, you mentioned I've had the great privilege of interviewing seven presidents, very different men with very different legacies. And at the end of the day, I think the best we can expect of our president is that he does his best and loves his country. And because leadership comes in so many different forms. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. But if somebody does his best, maybe one day her best, and loves his country, that's the best that we can expect of them. We see in Abraham Lincoln's strength, you know, if you look at his hands as they rest on the chair that he sits on at the Lincoln Memorial, one is balled up in a fist and the other is outstretched. And that is meant to symbolize strength and weakness. And any president's challenge, strength and compassion, excuse me. And those qualities are what we need in leaders. It's a matter of determining when you're strong and when you're compassionate. And that changes based on any challenge that we have before.
But it should be through the filter of the Constitution, should it not?
Oh, my gosh, our founding documents are what make us what we are.
Exactly.
The Declaration of Independence establishes us as a nation, but our Constitution are the principles by which we live and govern as a nation. Of course, we have to steep anything we do in the words of the Constitution, the amendments that have come since the founders put that document in place.
And I think that's part of the challenge we deal with right now, Mark. The way I look at it from my purview is the question is, you know, is that really what the founding fathers meant? And it's right there very clear, and some decisions at the judicial level, you know, even some statements by elected officials or such, that you go, wait a minute, I don't find that in the Constitution, forgive me. And, you know, and I think that's in part what we battle. That aside for right now, a question that has been nagging me as you were researching for this book, you know, what focused more of your attention? What got you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and kept saying, wait a minute, you got to look into this a little bit further?
Well, I think Kennedy's stance on civil rights is really interesting, and I wondered when he turned on civil rights. He is very reactionary on civil rights. He was not particularly proactive. He was being pushed by the soldiers of the civil rights movement to take a more active stand, and he refused to do so initially in his presidency because at the time Americans weren't supportive of civil rights. They didn't see the urgency in pushing civil rights. Neither did Kennedy.
Well, the polling wasn't there pointing to it. I mean, clearly, you're right.
Absolutely
exactly.
Not. Yeah. But Kennedy was more interested in foreign policy and saw the civil rights movement and its exposure to the ravages of racial prejudice as tarnishing America's image abroad as we battled for moral high ground in the Cold War. So he didn't act on civil rights as much as react. So he finally stepped up on civil rights by calling it a moral issue and proposing the Civil Rights Act of 63, which would become the Civil Rights Act of 1964, pushed through a very reluctant Congress by the indomitable Lyndon Johnson.
Exactly. Well, his brother Ted Kennedy said of his brother Robert, who was very much involved with civil rights, as you know, said something that is lost. He says, when we lose somebody, we somehow make them greater in death than life. You know, could this have applied to his brother John as well? We got about a minute left here.
Without question, John F. Kennedy is mythologized. There's this Camelot myth that essentially obscures Kennedy as a man. He's far more interesting to look at in real flesh and blood, and that's what I tried to do in this profile, get through the Camelot myth and show Kennedy in all his strengths and defects and what leadership can look like at crucial times.
Excellent. Well, this is a great book. Thank you for doing this. I mean, the story that you bring, all the hard work and research here, Mark Updegrove, much, much appreciated. The book, we will link it on our website, available at all the usual places as well. Incomparable Grace, JFK in the Presidency. Mark Updegrove has been our guest, as we mentioned, interviewed 7 U.S. presidents. He is the president and CEO of the Lyndon Baines Johnson Foundation, ABC News presidential historian, former director of the LBJ Presidential Library, and a publisher of Newsweek. Mark, again, thank you for the time and all the great work on this new book, Incomparable Grace.
Bill, what a pleasure it's been. Thanks so much for having me.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
The final phase.